next, let's get to our guest, Martin Lakos, Division Director at Macquarie Wealth Management. Martin, tough times for sure, and more we're hearing from strategists that declining CPI, I mean, even if we get that, if you combine that with wages that are high and sticky, that it will lead to lower corporate profits. So it's a kind of lose-lose scenario here with inflation either high or declining. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning. Look, it's interesting because obviously corporates basically use the pandemic to improve their position. So hence we saw very strong earnings growth right through the pandemic, which is one of the factors that saw markets rise to the heady levels that they did. And so there's still a buffer in corporate world, but there's absolutely no doubt we still have an expectation that earnings will be declining in this environment. That is, you know, slowing broad-based economic growth and the impacts of inflation and obviously the impacts of cost of doing business. But the question mark really is, what is that actual decline in earnings growth? And we don't think it's going to be as weak as we had seen in previous pre-recession periods, but it is definitely going to come off. And that's probably the next stage for markets. So when we look at the valuation of markets, and in particular in terms of price to earnings growth, we still see markets aren't cheap yet. And until we see really markets that look cheap, we won't see a full reversal in those markets. But we are expecting to see ongoing bear market rallies from time to time, which is obviously what we saw last week.
Mm. Well, Martin, it gives a sense, you know, when you look at the earnings season coming up, it's going to be about their forecast, isn't it, really? And, you know, there's some which last time disappointed in terms of what they were saying about, you know, looking ahead to this quarter they're reporting on, and that should be interesting, what they deliver.
Yeah, very much so. Look, there's no question. The forward statements are probably key and critical in this type of market environment. I mean, the markets are expecting weaker earnings, are expecting that analysts will be forced to go into downgrade mode. We certainly saw that here in Australia in our last reporting season where we had more downgrades than upgrades, but it wasn't as bad anticipated. So the next couple of earnings seasons, the next quarters in the US and here in Australia, the next 6 month reporting season is really going to be very, very interesting to see where it actually all lands.
Do companies, because if we see wages high, we know they're sticky, they're hard to bring down. Do companies then that deal with costs more in materials or commodities that will fall, do they look more attractive than high labor companies?
Yeah, not yet, Brian. You know, the particularly the materials side is still, you know, relatively elevated at this stage. So although, you know, starting to come off and some signs of improvements in terms of supply, so those supply chain disruptions are certainly improving. If you look at a whole range of different dynamics, particularly purchasing managers index surveys, but, you know, we're not there yet. So you might get a counterbalance of, you know, input costs coming down, but some of those sticky elements that you've talked about remaining elevated. It's just that at the end of the day, businesses are now just going to have to be more and more prepared to be operating in a higher inflation environment.
Martin, you know, we look at what's happening. We see these odd bull rallies within the bear market. You know, are they exactly that one part of the question? And how do you navigate this?
Yeah, look, so certainly at this stage, you would expect to see further bear market rallies. Because at the end of the day, we are seeing, you know, very volatile markets when we see markets get sold down, as we saw, for example, in the reaction to the employment data on Friday with the NASDAQ down 4%. These aren't ordinary or normal moves. So we've got to get used to that to some extent. But we will find that markets get oversold. Navigating through that, well, look, at the end of the day, we continue to really run very diversified portfolios. I think that's the best way to be approaching this high degree of volatility, and obviously with a high level of caution as well. Your turning points for us will really be when central bank narrative starts to change around the momentum of interest rate moves by them, and even when markets start to anticipate that we'll start to see central banks either easing back or then placing monetary policy on hold or a pause for some time to see the impacts. But we're not quite there yet, and it does look like we won't see that until the middle of the end of this year.
Yeah. So you mentioned alternative asset classes. One of the tricky aspects about going into, say, private markets is they're not marking to market like other assets. So you're always wondering whether or not you're overpaying, I suppose. But then sometimes that lower volatility can be your friend, right? So how do you discern between the two?
So certainly we've been, right through this year, we've increased our allocation to alternative asset classes. So as you said, Brian, you know, things like private equity, things like hedge funds, you know, long-short funds, those assets that have got either longer duration, so they go through this cycle, and also those assets that basically have low or no correlation to the global financial markets on a day-to-day basis. But having said that, yes, you've got to be obviously doing your homework or be prepared to ensure that managers that you're using are doing their homework in regards to those valuations. Because quite clearly, you can't mark to market on those valuations on portfolio. So it's very much then down to the credibility of some of those managers that you're using.
Now, tell me, okay, your diversified portfolio, sure, you know, but you had 60-40 before, you know, that's a stock-bond split. But, you know, I've been asking this question of a few guests, which is it the other way around? Should it be 60% bonds, 40% equities?
Probably not to that extreme, Rish, at this stage. So we're sort of maintaining our weightings, but where we've obviously shifted is we've underweighted equities for the time being, gone to those alternative assets we've just talked about, also going to real assets. So not only is that real estate, but big, much bigger weightings in infrastructure. Again, it's got this long duration. So again, you don't buy and sell infrastructure assets on a daily basis. So you've got to be considering or putting that in perspective in terms of across the cycle as well. And then the really within that defensive component that you've talked about, it's really being shifting to safety. So again, we're moving away from corporate credit and more towards the sovereign side. While we're at this stage of the interest rate cycle.
What sort of percentage do you keep in cash? And by that, I mean, you know, liquid cash, not cash equivalents, so that, you know, you get a big sell-off, maybe you take advantage of it.
Yeah, look, again, depending client by client and their own situation, but certainly it sort of would be, you know, you'd think a minimum of between 5 and 15% would be where we'd be holding cash at this stage. That includes obviously cash and term deposits, so where you've got real easy access to that liquidity. And for exactly what you've just said, Brian, at the end of the day, there are opportunities in the markets. There are some key thematics that we think are well worth investigating, things like global healthcare, cybersecurity, for example. These are areas and themes that we continue to invest in. But again, you've got to be prepared that you know, you slowly but surely move into the markets and stage those investments. Don't try and pick the bottom, because that's very hard to do.
Martin, do you have any interest in investing in China?
Look, we haven't. We've stepped away from China quite some time ago. I think there will be a time to be, you know, upping the weightings to China or pseudo China exposures. But I think while we've got this the zero COVID policy and the pandemic issue, you know, where does the Chinese economy actually start to bottom out? We're going to be watching very closely this upcoming National People's Congress, particularly commentary around how they're going to start to re-stimulate their economy and how they actually go about that. So it's certainly on watch for us, without a doubt.
Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Martin Lagos there, Division Director at Macquarie Wealth Management, getting his take on the markets. This is Bloomberg.